It took you 5 minutes to read it. It took them 300 years to live it. Sometimes we get the idea, you know, that God has a short fuse. My friend, he does not. Okay, but judgment's coming. There's a dear friend of mine and Pam's. I wish all of you could know her. Her name's Sis Dixon. You know, amen. She's a precious lady. And the joke around the foundry is if you've got to be reprimanded by somebody, you want Sis to do it. Amen. Because she's just such a kind, she's one of the kindest people I've ever met in my life. And genuinely kind. I mean, just, it's a gift. It's a beautiful thing, you know. And it's like, well, somebody got to get on to me. I want Sis to get on to me, you know. And I guess the same way with God, you know. If you want judgment to come, it needs to come from the one who loved this earth enough to die for it. So that's what qualified him to open a scroll. Amen. Amen. And he didn't do it joyfully and gleefully and gloating. Are going to do it, I should say. Amen. Amen. But aren't you glad that we've been redeemed? Aren't you glad? I know a lot of people start, you know, Genesis in the new year and, read the Bible through. And so I'm somewhere in the middle of Numbers right now. And, man, my hat's off to all them folks for all that they had to do and everything. But it does, listen, I think Father's desire is for us to realize what they had to do just to approach him. Compare that to what's been done for us. And now we're one with him. We have it so much better. Oh, we have it so much better. But see, here's the thing. Sin annoys God as much today as it did back in those days when they stoned a man for picking up sticks on a Sabbath. He's just as bothered by us disrespecting holy things today as he was back then. It's just Jesus already paid for it so that it doesn't separate us from him. But still, if you look at the Bible as a whole, the plan of God is for us to understand the love that he has for us in light of his standard and what he's done for us to be able to not only meet that standard, but live that standard, and that our response be one of love, that we do all that we can with him inside of us to please him. Not because we're afraid we're going to get stoned if we don't, but because of his great love for us. Amen. Amen. Let's go back to Isaiah. One of the brothers in class said it seems a lot longer than 2 weeks. And I would agree, it seems a lot longer than that since we've been together on a Wednesday night. So I want to begin here, and we're going to build on some things tonight. But again, this verse begins with a unique translation. The word is ho, and this is an interjection. I'm reading from a dictionary. Let me put it up right quick. An interjection means it's inserted, interjected into the text. And it's used to draw attention to an unexpected but momentous occasion or to a hope-filled and joyous expectation. And so certainly it's appropriate based upon the content here. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, got to keep reading, right? So if you have no money, how can you buy and eat? He says, yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. In other words, it's without price, but you don't have to have money. In other words, you hear me say it all the time based upon Romans 4. God will freely give you everything, but he's not going to owe you anything. The things that God has given to us are precious and priceless, and they're not for sale. They can only be received. Amen. Amen, man. Man can receive nothing unless it's given to him, is what Jesus said from heaven. So come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Why do you spend your money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. We're not going to turn there tonight, but do you remember in John the 6th chapter when Jesus feeds the multitude and then he and his disciples, they go across, and when the group wakes up the next morning, they're hungry again despite how much food they ate the afternoon before. And they got in boats and rowed, expending a whole bunch of calories, to find Jesus to get him to feed them again. And he said, you didn't seek me to know what I know and receive from me what I have to give you. He said, you just came because you wanted another meal. You wanted some more food. And, you know, because in their day, food was scarce. When I say scarce, they had to do a whole lot more to get food and prepare food and eat food than we do today. Okay. And that's probably, they were probably healthier because of it, right? So, beginning with this word ho, in other words, this is like, brace yourself, guys, this is some of the best news you're going to hear all day, you know, or all your lifetime. And they're hearing this. Remember when Jesus said it's difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom? And the disciples are like, well, who can be saved then? We might as well go home right now. And then, of course, Jesus explained it's because they trust in riches instead of trusting in God. And so these people are hearing this. And of course, the Holy Spirit is anticipating, you know, that it's like some fantasy or something, you know, that we just all this food and abundance and not for sale, but you can have all you want. Of course, all being prophetic, speaking of the kingdom. But then he says, listen carefully to me. Now, we live in a new day. We got a lot more to listen to from God than was available to these people in their day to hear from him. Are you following me? But if we just limited this to what he's saying right here in these verses, I'm not saying we should do that, but if we did that, meditating on what he's saying right here would be enough for them to let their souls delight in abundance. Let your soul delight itself. Let your soul delight itself in abundance. Let me see if I can kind of break this down, right? Remember, there was the famine, and I get my Elijahs and my Elishas sometimes confused, but the word was that there's fixing to be food in such abundance, and as Bill Winston says, there's going to be plenty and it's going to be cheap. You ever heard him say that? Amen. And this, of course, is when the lepers went as a step of faith to see if the enemy that was starving out the city would feed them. And let me back up. They say, you know, we're not going to sit here till we die. There's no food in there. We're starving to death. There's no food in the city behind us to eat. So we're going to go and see if the enemy will have pity on us and give us something to eat. Worst thing they're going to do is kill us, and we're dead men already. So, well, that so impressed God that he made them sound like an army. And they ran, left food on the stove, so to speak. They ate till their bellies were full, and they said, you know, this isn't right for us to have all this food when so many people are starving to death. But when the prophet said, he didn't say how it was going to happen. He just said, you know, you're going from just the worst famine ever, and just basically in a matter of minutes, it's going to change. Well, it was a captain of the guard or some political figure there. He said, you know, if God was to make windows in heaven, that'll never happen. And the Lord said to him, he said, you're going to see it with your eyes, but you won't get to eat of it. And he did see it, but the people trampled him trying to get to it. And he died. Now, why am I telling you that sad story? Well, it's because, you know, people got to have the same attitude. The word of the Lord comes to them, right? And you know, there were skeptical peoples like, the prophet's so full of himself. He don't know what he's talking about. If the same response, right? If God was to make windows in heaven, nothing like that could ever happen. So his response was, hey, before you dismiss this, before you write this off, anybody ever heard pie in the sky religion? Anybody heard that? You know, it's like Christians are living in some fantasy world, you know, detached, whatever. He says, before you dismiss this as being impossible or unreasonable or something that you'll never see, why don't you just stop for a minute and let your soul delight itself in this abundance? In other words, why don't you just stop for a minute and say something like this to yourself? What if this is true? How would this change my life? How would my family be affected? How much more enjoyable would my life be? How stronger would we be as a people? In other words, that's what he's saying here. Instead of just dismissing the word of God like this is something unreasonable or impossible, ask yourself and let your soul, so your soul is your mind, emotions, and will, let this touch you inwardly. Your soul is a vital part of your heart, your inward man. Let this spark something in you. Let this, you know, motivate something in you. One of the reasons why we have these words, ho, or most assuredly, or selah, or verily, verily, these different expressions that are meant to draw our attention and focus and to emphasize certain things from the Word of God, is that God knows how He created you, and He knows the power of His Word, and He knows that if you will just open your heart up, again, the soul, the mind, vital part of the heart, and just allow for a moment yourself to believe it. Allow yourself a moment to say, okay, what if this is true? That's one of those things that'll help turn your hearts. One of those things that'll help soften your heart. One of those things that will enable God then to maybe say something else to you and then something else to you and begin to work and develop in you as only He can. So this phrase, and obviously we've been on it for a while, maybe on it for a little while longer, but the word let implies or speaks to a decision that you must make. And we see different versions and variations of this throughout the Word of God. In Romans, the 8th chapter, we see it, you know, obviously in the New Testament where he says, those who set their minds on the things of the Spirit will follow after the things of the Spirit. Those who set their minds on the things of the flesh will follow after the things of the flesh. Compare that now with, or join that together with Galatians 5. He says, if you follow after the things of the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Since you live in the Spirit, meaning God's Spirit's alive in you, let's also walk in the Spirit. But again, notice he's talking about a decision that we have to make, something that we must do. And we go all the way back to, God saying to his people, I set before you this day both blessing and cursing, life and death. Choose blessing, choose life. But again, the choice is ours. So when he's saying, let your soul delight itself in abundance, have you ever used or heard somebody use the expression, I just can't let myself go there? I'll believe it when I see it. Well, see, that's the opposite of letting your soul delight itself in abundance. In other words, he's saying, let yourself go there. Let the truth of this, and begin to imagine, because that's where the imagination comes in. Begin to imagine how much better and how different your life would be if this is indeed the case. Now, that's not going to be enough. We know that King Agrippa, being the great example in the book of Acts, he heard the gospel from Paul. His heart was turned. His heart was softened. And he even said, you almost persuade me to become a Christian, Paul. Okay. So I hope that he did one day. We have no information either way. So that alone is not enough, but it's definitely a step or a turning, if you will, in the right direction. Remember, repentance, new condition of mind, begins with a turning of the thought, a turning of the mind. So he's saying, allow your soul to delight itself in abundance. Let your soul, allow your soul. We fall into, and we've used some variation of this on Sunday morning a lot here lately, but we've fallen into so many wrong patterns of thinking that produce automatic responses in our lives that it seems to be seamless, and that we can't help ourselves, or we don't have a choice. It's just, you know, the way she is. We use these different expressions to justify. But we can choose. Amen. We can choose to set our minds on other things. Jesus said, New Testament, let not your heart be troubled. Do you see the Old New Testament connection there? Allow, let your soul delight itself in abundance. Do not let your heart. Your soul is the combination of your spirit, and your heart is the combination of your soul and your spirit. Yes, you with me on that? You are a spirit, you have a soul. Inward man, outward man. Your outward man, outward person is your body. Inward man of the heart is the combination of the spirit and soul, the cardia of man, the totality of the immaterial man. He's talking about both your spirit and your soul, okay? So your spirit's been born again. Your soul is in the process of being renewed and reconditioned to function as God intended for it to function. So when Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled, he's talking about things that we would focus on that would cause anxiety, right? There's, again, people say, I can't help myself. You can. Don't mistake, don't get mad at me for saying this, okay? Don't mistake a lack of discipline for a lack of ability. Are you with me? In other words, we have to bring thoughts into captivity, or else they will take us captive. So if we have been, let's just say, slack in what we set our minds upon, and we've set our minds upon things that cause us to be anxious and troubled, if we do that long enough, it'll seem like, again, it's just automatic that we can't do anything about it. That's wrong. You can, or else Jesus would have never told us to not let it happen if we couldn't prevent it from happening. Am I right about it now? Come on. So he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you believe also in me, right? The point I'm trying to make here is he's trying to tell them that he's fixing to leave them. And he knows that has potential to trouble their hearts. So what he's trying to do is show them the bigger picture of what's going on here, the plan of God, which, by the way, top secret information, at least at this point in time, because he knows that they'll focus on the bigger picture, it'll help carry them through the difficulty that's, you know, pretty close at hand for them. Are you following this? But the principle's still the same. In other words, you can sit there and focus on negative things. What is worry if it's not meditating on the wrong things? And then that anxiety, Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in the heart that we let in causes depression. Anxiety in the heart goes to depression. Okay, so again, God's word, timeless answers. So what if we started focusing on and accepting as true and acting as if it's true, amen, God's word? This is let your soul delight itself in abundance, right? Now, I'm not saying the Wednesday night bunch, but some people hear this and they go, well, that's not how it works in the real world. We're just trying to keep it real, Pastor Mark. We're just trying to keep it real, okay? Well, according to Bill Winston, and I believe it's rooted in the Word of God, I'm giving him credit for this quote. I wish I'd come up with it myself, okay? He said, truth's the highest form of reality. Anything that's not the truth may be real, but it's a lesser form of reality. We want the highest form of reality. We want things as they truly are. And you got to have truth for that. You got to have truth for that. Amen. You can't exist in the reality that God created you to exist in unless you're existing in that reality based upon His truth. That's why the truth will enable you to be free in your performed action, how you live your life. Amen. Free from fear, free from the curse, free from all of the above. Amen. So, man, I've been working on this in my own life. And I think that's one of the reasons I keep coming back to this. And there are parallels and similarities between what we've been talking about on Sunday morning and what we're talking about together on Wednesday night. But I'm encouraging you, just like, you know, you would go to the gym to, you know, exercise your body. Set aside deliberate, intentional, strategic time to just dream based on the Word of God. Let your soul delight itself in abundance. Practice it. I was going to say something to Brother Donald about this first, but I'll say it to you, but everybody can listen, brother. I'm sure you would agree with this, and you probably already thought it. Probably way ahead of me on this, but a new year or another year, right? Man, that just does, every time I say it to other people, it just does something for me, okay? But I was meditating, praying on that the other morning. That's what the Lord said, right? He said, a new day or another day. Yeah, right? Because you can't have a new year made up of 365 another days. Do you see what I'm saying? In other words, if we're going to have a new year instead of another year, we're going to have to do something different today. We're going to do something new, led by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God, inspired by them today. In other words, another year instead of a new year means we've do this year what we did last year. But last year was made up of 365 days. Is this amen or oh me or what? Are you following what I'm saying here? In other words, I keep talking about that, and Lord's like, okay, well, we're 4 days in, son. What have you done new? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, well, Lord, I mean, you know, it's like, well, I mean, are you following me, right? Teach me to number my days. That's what the Lord said, right? Not number my years, number my days. That makes sense to you? Okay. So how about if one of the things that we do new in this new year or increase in this new year instead of another year is if we spend more time letting our soul delight itself in abundance. Amen. I've never done this. And so I usually don't talk about things that I've never done because I don't want to, you know, even verge on being hypocritical, but you hear born again people and people who are not born again creating something called a vision board. Have you anybody heard of this? Where, you know, you literally, like if you want to go pay cash for one of those Denali Ultimates from Brother Donald one day down there at the GMC dealership, then get you a picture of one of those and put it on a board. And, you know, maybe you want a place on the lake or you want a nice boat, get you a picture of one of those. Maybe you want to help win a bunch of people to the Lord, then maybe get a picture from a developing nation that has a lot of, you know, less than 1% of people born again. So you hear about people doing that and these tremendous results that they experience in their lives. Okay. Keith Moore does it. That's almost enough for me, as much as I look up to that man. And I don't know how many years ago they put a Bentley, because their thing was, watch this now. If money were no object, What would you want to do? Where would you want to live? How would you want to, what would you want to drive? Whatever. You say, well, and he said when they first started doing that, it was like so almost painful, like how little they were expecting or dreaming or anything from the Lord. And so, and then they would always catch themselves, we can't afford that. We want, you know, what would people say if we lived in a house like that? You know, this or, and all these things. See, notice now, those were things preventing their soul from delighting itself in abundance. So he said it took some practice, but they do it every year. They developed this whole thing. All right. So, and it's amazing if you listen to his ministry, how many of those things that the Lord has blessed them with. Okay. What is that? That's letting their soul delight itself in abundance. If money were no object, what would we do? Well, money is an object. That's, again, see, you're, that kind of thinking is preventing your soul from delighting itself in abundance. When God said to Abraham and Sarah, you and Sarah, y'all fixing to be renewed in your bodies and she's going to get pregnant and give, they laughed. They had to get to a point where their soul could delight itself in it. Are you following me? I'm not trying to be graphic. Long before their bodies ever delighted in that relation, amen, they had let their souls delight in it. And somewhere along the way, they thought, you know, I know we laugh, but oh, how I've wanted a son. Oh, how I've longed to nurse a baby. Right? See now, what would it be like? Man, what would all them folks down at the coffee shop say? Right? They, you know what I'm saying? I mean, are you following me? They let their soul delight itself in abundance. If you've learned anything from me, you've learned our soul is what? It's a valve. Remember what they laughed? Remember what the angel said? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Why are you laughing? Well, see, again, just, you don't know how hurtful it is. I've wanted a child all these years. I just can't let myself go there. I can understand that. A woman in her 80s, never could have a child, wanted a child more than she wanted anything else on planet Earth. Those years have passed her by. Now some angel come up in here saying, I'm going to have a child. How, who do you think you are telling me? She could have been just as easily offended. It was probably a sarcastic laugh. Yeah, right. This man has no idea the pain I've been through coming up in here telling me I'm going to have a child. I can't go there. Are you seeing this, right? I'm not going to be disappointed again. How many times her cycle was late, she thought she was pregnant and it wasn't true. Right? It's not going to be disappointed. I'm not going to set myself up to fail or to be disappointed again. You see? Right? So notice now, God's trying to do something in their life, but he's got to have some cooperation with them and with us. How about if you're not debt free, how about if you let your soul delight itself in what it would be like to be debt free? Amen. How much money you would have to do good with if you weren't making all those payments? Amen. I say, I just can't go there, Pastor Mark. I can't see my way out. Now see again, there you go. There you go. Hallelujah. Is this making, I've probably got, I don't know how many pages of notes, but it's this part right here. It's this part right here. I want to, as other people say it, there was a brother at the Foundry and if you ever look at the Facebook, comments during a sermon or whatever, his name is literally, I know you think this, I'm kidding, I'm not kidding. His name is Sir Wallace. Like, that's his name, his given name, sir, you know. And but anyway, he would always, at the foundry, he would say, make it plain, Pastor Mark, make it plain, right? And so he'll put on the comments on the Facebook, make it plain, make it plain. I'm trying to make it plain. This is critical right here. Because if you can't let your soul delight itself in abundance, I promise you it will prevent you from ever living in and experiencing abundance. Because, see, the world says, once you get to abundance, you'll be delighted. And so now we're chasing abundance now we're looking to abundance and what we can do to get what we want instead of looking to God. God says, no, let me show you how this works. Delight yourself in me, and I'll give you the desires of your heart. God doesn't want us to chase desires. He wants us to seek him. He doesn't want all these. Well, Pastor Mark, you're talking both sides of your mouth. No, I'm not. Listen to me, please. You've got to delight in God's kingdom. Delight always comes before the fulfilled desire. You've got to delight yourself first and then the desire. And thank God he loves us enough to set it up that way. He set it up that way, right? Or else we would miss the greatest desire of all nations, right? We would miss the greatest prize of all, and that's him. That's him. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm so excited. I want you to understand how this works. So when he's telling us to delight ourselves in abundance, notice he's got folks, he's talking to people who don't even believe God wants them to have abundance. You got to start somewhere. But in God, delight comes before desire. Let me get to a couple of things here. I know I'm out of time. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Where did I put that? I like the way the Lord told me to say it. Amen. I jumped over a bunch of stuff in my notes. Well, praise God. I know this is the right set of notes. Stand with me tonight. Praise God. If I can't find this, we'll find it next week and we'll get to it. Amen. Are y'all okay? Are you getting anything out of this? I'm trying to give you some suggestions here on how to do this. Here we go. Thank you, Lord. So Psalm 37:4, he says, you're familiar with the verse, delight yourself also in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. The world's system of toiling views the process backwards. They say, obtain the desires of your heart and you'll be delighted. But in the kingdom and in truth, delight comes before fulfilled desire. The delight that comes from a fulfilled desire, the delight that comes from a fulfilled desire is most often temporary. Is most often temporary. Delighting yourself in the Lord is eternal and a far superior treasure. The New Testament version of this is 1 Timothy 6:6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. In other words, if you try to find contentment through gain without godliness, you can accumulate stuff that way, but you're not ever going to be satisfied. Because things, and even an abundance of things, is not what your soul is truly longing for. It's longing for God. It longs for him, that fellowship and communion with him. So when we let our soul delight itself in abundance, that's the pathway, are you following me, to actually experiencing abundance in our lives. I know I've referenced Keith Moore a few times tonight, but he talks about this man in his church who bought a really, really expensive sports car. And And he didn't keep it very long, and he sold it. And Keith, Brother Moore, was talking to him about it, and he said, what did you enjoy most about that car? He said, the 5 days before I bought it. Now, think about that right there. He was all excited and, you know, man, if I just get that car, I'm going to be so happy. I'm going to enjoy it, so much other stuff, right? Well, he got it, and it was okay, but the new wears off, even if something nice, right? And he looks back on it, he's like, you know, the days leading up to buying it, you follow this, right? It was exciting, the unknown, all other stuff. This is what he's saying here, delight yourself in the Lord, because he's not going to disappoint. He's not going to let you down. He's going to hit spots that only he can hit. And we say hit the spot because he created the spot. He created the itch, if you will, that only he can scratch. And then once you find that delight in him, God doesn't mind you having nice things. But if you're not delighted in him and you're looking to things to satisfy you, you're always going to be miserable. But man, godliness with contentment, that's great gain. Not just gain, but great gain. Amen. Yes, sir, please.
So, a practical way, just keeping in line with what happened with Abraham and Sarah, how they laughed at the extremity of that possibility of them having a child. And delighting ourselves in abundance, these are the things that will bring laughter to your soul.
That's right, brother.
So you're saying, just like you go to the gym and train, whatever you're doing, if you'll take time and set a few minutes apart to delight yourself in the Lord, the way you tell the extreme possibility of your delight is if it makes you laugh.
Amen.
At the mere possibility that these things can be.
You mean laugh in joy, not laugh in yeah, yeah. See it, brother. Set joy. Amen. That's good, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Whew. We get into the nitty gritty now. I told you last Sunday of 2025 was what we're going to be about this year. And amen. I haven't done the vision board, but I'm going to tell you something. Letting my soul delight in abundance. Micah Andrews, he's the CEO at the Foundry. He always unveils a theme for the year. Pastor Bill started this 20-something years ago. And Micah said something this morning that really spoke to me. He said, we spend too much time worrying about what if instead of rejoicing over what is. Amen. Man, when you start thinking about, I've got them in my notes, we'll get to them eventually. How about let your soul delight itself in righteousness? How about let your soul delight itself in blessing? How about let your soul delight itself in healing? Because all of these things, what you do have instead of what you don't think you have. Yeah, that's it. So, you know, people are like, what if this happens? What if we do that and this happens? What if it don't, you know, going to be disappointed again? That's preventing your soul from delighting itself in abundance. So how about, this is what God's done for me. This is what he's given to me. This is who he's made me. That's what is. That's what the truth, right? Whew. Father, you're good to us. We love you. Thank you for your words of life. Let them penetrate deep into our hearts. Renew us. Recondition our understanding, our way of seeing things, you, the world, our own selves, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank y'all so much for being here tonight. Know that you love. Good things coming. Looking forward to our time together on Sunday. You have a blessed and wonderful week.